Picture a random Tuesday afternoon. A massive global telecommunications provider just suddenly goes completely dark.
Right. Total blackout.
Exactly. I mean, millions of customers lose cellular service, emergency lines go down, and the company's stock price just plummets in real time.
And everyone panics.
Yeah, the media immediately speculates about a sophisticated nation-state cyber attack, right?
Naturally.
But then, hours later, the engineering team finds the actual culprit. And it wasn't a hacker.
Nope.
It wasn't a physical server catching fire. It was the single tiny string of code, a digital certificate that proved the identity of one internal system to another. And it just silently expired at 2.ever p.m.
Unbelievable.
Nobody knew it existed. Nobody was tracking it. And when it died, it took the entire network down with it.
And you know, that scenario is playing out across every major industry right now. It really is.
Wow.
We spend so much time and, well, so much money securing human passwords and human laptops, but we are completely blind to the infrastructure that actually runs the modern enterprise.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we are diving into what is rapidly becoming the most urgent yet, I mean, entirely invisible problem in cybersecurity.
It really is invisible.
Today, we are exploring the explosive growth of non-human machine identities. And for you listening, we are grounding our discussion in some incredibly revealing research from the July 2026 release of SailPoint Machine Identity Security, the complete enterprise guide, which was published by Brawley Academy.
It's a fantastic guide.
It really is. And I know this sounds like a backroom IT issue, but it is fundamentally about who, or rather, what holds the master keys to our most sensitive digital kingdoms?
Right. And to really grasp the scale here, imagine walking into a massive enterprise data center.
Okay.
You swipe your physical badge, you see engineers at their desks. But for every single physical human employee in that building, there's a staggering unseen workforce operating in the background.
How big are we talking?
We are talking about a ratio of 45 machine identities for every single human.
Wait, 45?
45 to 1.
Yeah. That number is just mind-boggling because according to the research, it's nearly 70% of surveyed organizations that now manage more machine identities than human ones.
Yep.
And they are projecting, what, a 30% growth in just the next 3 to 5 years. So if you have a company of just 10,000 employees, you are looking at nearly 500,000 machine identities running through your network.
Exactly. So instead of the classic iceberg analogy, think of it like the physical structure of a modern skyscraper.
Okay, I like that.
The human employees are the appliances you plug into the wall, right? The monitors, the coffee machines.
The things you actually see.
Right. You see them, you interact with them, you know, when they're turned on or off. But the machine identities, they are the thousands of miles of high voltage wiring, the junction boxes, and the circuit breakers buried deep inside the walls.
That makes a lot of sense.
If an appliance breaks, you notice immediately.
Mm-hmm.
If a wire frays inside the wall, it just sits there silently until it burns the entire building down. So if there are 45 of these things for every one of us, they fly under the radar precisely because they don't look like us, they don't have an office, and they serve highly specific automated functions.
Okay, well, let's pull back the drywall then and look at that wiring, because these identities aren't just one standardized thing, right?
No, not at all.
The SailPoint framework categorizes several distinct types of machine identities, and understanding the mechanics of how they operate and how they fail is crucial. Let's start with API keys.
What's fascinating here is that API keys are essentially the digital passports that allow two different software applications to talk to each other without human intervention.
Like an automated handshake.
Exactly. Say a payment gateway needs to verify a transaction with a banking server. The failure mode here almost always comes down to developer friction.
What do you mean by that?
Well, an engineer is racing to meet a product deadline, and they will often hard code that API key directly into the application source code instead of storing it in a secure vault.
Oh, taking a shortcut.
Right. So the application gets deployed, the engineer moves on to a different project, and that key is completely forgotten. It never gets rotated.
And it's just sitting there.
And worse, it's usually overly scoped.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning the developer gave the key administrative access to the entire database just to make sure the connection worked, rather than restricting it to only the payment data it actually needed.
Oh, wow. So you have a permanent, highly privileged key just sitting in plain text forever.
Exactly.
And then we have digital certificates, which brings us back to our opening story about the telecom outage.
Right. The certificates, they handle what we call mutual authentication.
Okay.
So instead of a one-way street where a user just types a password into a website, Mutual authentication means both the client application and the server are cryptographically exchanging certificates.
To verify each other's identity.
Yes, before they pass a single byte of data. But the reason they fail so spectacularly, you know, the silent expiry we talked about, is a lack of centralized public key infrastructure, or PKI, management.
So nobody is keeping track.
Exactly. Different engineering teams buy certificates from different external authorities. There is no central registry, no master calendar, and no automated alert system.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It is. The certificate reaches its 2-year expiration date, the cryptographic trust breaks instantly, and the two massive systems simply refuse to talk to each other.
And engineers spend their entire weekend manually hunting through thousands of servers to find the one expired credential.
Yep.
Moving down the list, we have SSH keys. What are those?
So SSH stands for Secure Shell. It's a cryptographic network protocol that creates a secure tunnel over an unsecured network. It's primarily used by system administrators to remotely log into operating systems and make fundamental changes to servers.
Okay, so highly privileged access.
Very. And the crisis with SSH keys is pure sprawl. An administrator generates a key pair to access a cluster of servers, but when that administrator leaves the company, there is rarely a mechanism to go into those specific servers and revoke their specific public key.
Which leaves a permanent backdoor just wide open.
Basically, yes.
Unbelievable. Finally, there are the bots and robotic process automation, or RPA processes. The research flags a massive architectural flaw with how these are deployed, right? Something about violating the principle of least privilege.
Yeah, so least privilege is this foundational security concept that any entity should only have the exact minimum level of access necessary to perform its specific task, and nothing more.
Makes sense.
But when a team deploys a bot to, say, reconcile invoices at 3 a.m, they rarely take the time to custom build a restricted permissions profile.
So what do they do instead?
They simply clone the entitlements of the human accountant who requested the bot.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now you have an automated script running unsupervised with full access to payroll, employee records, and corporate banking.
We have built this staggeringly complex digital infrastructure that entirely relies on these non-human workers, yet we are managing their credentials like digital sticky notes.
It's terrifying when you actually look at it.
It really is.
Yeah.
So now that we understand the volume, you know, the 45-to-1 ratio and the specific architectures of these machines, we need to address why this has spiraled into an unmanageable crisis. And it fundamentally comes down to a complete lack of a machine HR department.
That is the perfect way to phrase it.
Mm.
Because over the last 20 years, human identity governance has become a highly formalized science.
Right.
It is built on the joiner, mover, lever life cycle.
Mm.
When a human joins a company, human resources acts as the authoritative source of truth.
Right, there's a paper trail.
Exactly. A manager formally approves the new hire's software access based on their specific role. When that employee is promoted or changes departments, you know, the mover phase, their access is adjusted.
Makes sense.
And crucially, there is a definitive termination date. When they leave, HR updates the central database and their access across every single corporate system is universally and immediately revoked.
It's predictable, trackable, and tied to a physical person.
But machine accounts bypass every single one of those guardrails. They aren't onboarded by HR. They are spun up dynamically by engineers in automated deployment scripts.
Without anyone asking permission.
Right. They rarely have a recorded human owner attached to them.
Yeah.
And they virtually never have a termination date programmed into their life cycle.
The data on this blind spot is just alarming. Only 38% of companies have any kind of real-time visibility into their machine identities. Roughly 2/3 of enterprise organizations are still relying on manual processes. I mean, literally using spreadsheets to track tens of thousands of active credentials.
Spreadsheets in 2026.
Exactly. But here is the statistic that demands attention. 88% of security professionals admit they are terrified to delete an inactive machine identity because they fear it might unexpectedly break a production system.
That is the defining stat of this whole crisis.
Let me pause on that because on the surface, that sounds ridiculous. If an account hasn't been active in 6 months, if it looks completely dormant, why are highly trained, highly paid security architects paralyzed by the thought of just unplugging it? It's like leaving every light on in your house forever because you're terrified you'll forget where the fuse box is.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it comes down to a concept called the blast radius.
The blast radius.
Right. In a modern, highly interconnected microservice architecture, dependencies are incredibly difficult to map. Let's say a developer created a service account 3 years ago to bridge a legacy financial reporting application with a modern cloud database.
No, I follow you.
That developer left the company 2 years ago. The account only activates for 10 minutes on the last day of every fiscal quarter to pull a specific compliance metric.
Oh, I see where this is going.
If a security analyst deletes that account in the middle of the quarter because it appears dormant, the system won't throw an error today. But on the last day of the quarter, the financial close will completely fail.
And the company might miss a regulatory filing deadline.
Exactly. And millions of dollars could be at risk.
So the blast radius of a single wrong deletion is entirely unknown, and the consequences are catastrophic.
This creates a culture of extreme risk aversion. Nobody wants to be the analyst who took down the billing system, so these dormant accounts are allowed to accumulate indefinitely.
They just sit there in the dark.
Yep, generating massive credential sprawl and excessive standing privilege.
And from an attacker's perspective, a dormant service account with no owner and administrative privileges is, well, it's the ultimate jackpot.
Absolutely. Attackers specifically hunt for machine credentials because they bypass the need to trick a human being with a phishing email.
Right.
Once an attacker gets a tiny foothold in a network, say compromising a low-level web server, their immediate goal is lateral movement.
So moving sideways through the network.
Yes. They want to pivot from that low-value server to the high-value customer database. If they find an overprivileged, forgotten API key sitting on that web server, they can use it to walk straight through the internal network doors.
That's terrifying.
And the most dangerous aspect of this lateral movement is that it doesn't trigger security alarms. Intrusion detection systems are looking for malware signatures or anomalous human behavior.
But a machine talking to a machine looks normal.
Exactly. An API key querying a database just looks like routine authorized automation doing its job.
Okay, so we have established a massive invisible attack surface that IT teams are literally too scared to touch. How do we break this deadlock?
This is where we need a completely new approach.
Right, and this is where the SailPoint framework steps in. Because in October 2024, they launched SailPoint Machine Identity Security, built natively on their Atlas platform, specifically to bring human-level lifecycle governance to machines.
Yes, and the architecture of their solution is built on four continuous automated movements: discover, organize, govern, and automate. It is designed as a perpetual loop, not just a one-time audit.
First is discover, because you obviously cannot govern an environment you cannot see.
Right.
But finding these things isn't as simple as searching a directory for the word bot, is it? Engineers are notorious for ignoring naming conventions. So how does the platform actually separate the hidden machine accounts from the human ones?
It relies heavily on advanced pattern recognition and behavioral telemetry.
So, telemetry, like tracking how they act.
Exactly. The system ingests vast amounts of authentication data and looks for specific mechanical signatures. For example, a human being logs in at roughly 9.000 a.m., types with variable speed, accesses a diverse range of applications, and takes a lunch break.
Human behavior.
Right. A machine identity, however, might authenticate to the exact same cluster of IP addresses, executing the exact same database query every 24 hours at exactly 3.000000 a.m.
Down to the millisecond.
Yes. By analyzing the naming entropy, the authentication cadence, and the network pathways, the machine learning models can positively identify and categorize orphan machine accounts that a manual audit would completely miss.
That makes a lot of sense. So once those tens of thousands of accounts are pulled out of the shadows, the second movement is organize. And this is heavily focused on human psychology, right?
Very much so.
Because if you dump an Excel sheet with 50,000 raw Selenium-numeric strings onto a security manager's desk and ask them to govern it, they will experience total cognitive overload and just ignore it.
Nobody can process that. Abstraction is absolutely necessary for governance. The platform analyzes the relationships between these raw accounts and groups them into logical, business-level machine identities tied to the specific services they support.
Okay.
So instead of a reviewer staring at thousands of disconnected API keys and certificates, they're looking at a single, digestible entity labeled Customer Checkout Gateway, which contains all the underlying credentials associated with that function.
Which makes the third movement, govern, actually possible. You can now apply the exact same certification campaigns and separation of duty policies to that checkout gateway as you would to a human employee.
Exactly.
Finally, we have automate.
Because true security at scale cannot rely on human IT tickets. Provisioning of new keys, the complex rotation of passwords across different servers, and the revocation of access All of that must run through automated workflows.
Right. Humans are too slow.
And we make mistakes. The platform makes the API calls to downstream systems to disable access instantly and securely, removing human error entirely from the equation.
But I really want to zero in on how SailPoint solves that 88% terror rate, you know, the fear of breaking production.
Oh, yes, the quarantine.
Yes, the framework outlines a mechanism they call quarantine before deletion, and it is just brilliant. So what does this all mean in practice? I liken it to cleaning out your garage.
Yeah, let's hear it.
You find a weird, heavy-duty cable buried behind some boxes, and you have no idea what it powers. Instead of throwing it directly into the trash, you put it in a highly visible holding box on the shelf.
Right.
If, a month later, your heavy-duty leaf blower won't turn on and you realize, hey, I needed that cable, you just take it back out of the box and plug it in. But if a full year goes by and no one has touched the box, you can confidently throw the cable away.
That analogy captures the mechanics perfectly. In the digital environment, quarantining means automatically disabling the account's access while keeping the credential itself intact and recoverable.
So you aren't actually deleting it yet?
No, you are safely testing the dependency in a live environment. If a legacy application suddenly throws an error, the platform can automatically unquarantine the account in milliseconds, restoring service before a major outage even occurs.
That is so smart.
It changes everything. But underpinning all four of these movements, discover, organize, govern, and automate, is a single non-negotiable golden rule.
Which is?
Ownership.
Right. The ultimate goal of the platform is to assign a verified human owner to every single machine identity in the enterprise.
Yes. Without human accountability, the entire governance lifecycle just collapses. Machines cannot answer certification emails. Machines cannot authorize password rotations.
They don't care.
Exactly. Machines do not care if their certificates expire. If there's no human name irrevocably linked to a machine identity, the process of provisioning, monitoring, and retiring that access just dies.
Yeah.
Ownership is the pivot point.
Okay, so grouping, quarantining, and assigning human owners works brilliantly for static accounts, like the legacy service accounts running nightly batch jobs.
Right.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The July 2026 Brawley Academy guide points toward a terrifying new reality that breaks traditional governance models completely. What happens when the lifespan of a machine identity is measured not in years, but in minutes? Or worse, what happens when the machine starts making its own decisions?
That is the frontier. The future of machine identity security is defined by ephemerality and autonomous artificial intelligence.
Let's talk about ephemerality first. We are seeing a massive shift toward cloud containers and serverless workloads.
Yep.
These are highly dynamic pieces of computing power that request resources, spin up, execute a specific job, and then completely vanish. They might live for 5 minutes.
If that.
Right. So I have to challenge the framework here. If a cloud container blinks into existence, authenticates to a database, grabs the data, and deletes itself before my coffee gets cold, how can a human owner possibly be accountable for it in real time? By the time the system generates an email asking me to certify the access, the machine identity doesn't even exist anymore.
Exactly.
Quarterly certification cycles are completely meaningless against that level of velocity.
This raises an important question.
Yeah.
Because that velocity requires a complete paradigm shift in how we apply governance. You are absolutely right. You cannot manually govern ephemeral workloads at the individual identity level.
So how do you manage it?
The shift is moving away from governing the credential and toward continuous policy-driven governance of the factory.
The factory.
Yeah. You don't approve the individual 5-minute container.
No.
You approve the overarching security policy that dictates exactly what permissions the automated deployment engine is allowed to grant when it creates those containers.
I see.
The human owner is accountable for the rule book, not the individual players on the field.
Okay, so you govern the blueprint, not the building. But the problem gets exponentially harder when we introduce autonomous AI agents, which the research identifies as the most consequential threat vector of the decade.
Absolutely.
SailPoint has aggressively positioned themselves for this, notably with their June 2026 acquisition of Tel Aviv-based Entro Security, which brings specialized secrets discovery capabilities into their ecosystem.
A huge move for them.
Yeah. And they've also rolled out agent identity security, connecting directly into massive AI platforms like Microsoft 365 Copilot, Amazon Bedrock, Google Vertex AI, and Snowflake Cortex AI.
Right. And the industry calls this the hard problem of agentic identity.
Yeah.
Traditional automation is static, right? A script executes a predefined set of instructions.
It does what it's told.
Exactly. An autonomous AI agent, however, chains actions dynamically across multiple systems based on probabilistic reasoning.
Wait, probabilistic reasoning?
Yeah, it's making guesses based on probability. For example, an AI agent acting on your behalf might be instructed to simply resolve this customer complaint.
Okay.
To do that, the agent might independently read an incoming email, summarize the attachment, decide on its own to query a restricted financial database, to check the customer's payment history, draft a refund authorization, and push it to the billing system.
It's acting completely independently. It is making multi-step judgment calls.
Therefore, the governance question fundamentally shifts. It is no longer just about controlling what a machine can access, but strictly governing what an autonomous AI is permitted to decide.
Wow.
This requires an incredibly sophisticated layer of reviewable, bounded access. The AI agent must operate on a heavily monitored digital leash, and a verified human owner must hold the other end, totally accountable for every decision that agent chains together.
It is a profound shift in how we structure our digital reality. So bringing this out of the data center and back to you, the listener, why does this invisible workforce of 45-to-1 machine identities matter to your daily life?
It matters a lot.
It does, because every single time you swipe a credit card at a grocery store, every time you log into a portal to check your medical records, every time you rely on a cloud service to share private photos with your family, there is a vast unseen network of machine identities talking to each other in the background to make it happen.
And this ties directly into the industry-wide transition to the zero trust architecture. Under a zero trust model, we no longer implicitly trust a digital request just because it originates from inside the corporate network.
The perimeter is gone.
Right. We assume the network is already breached. Therefore, every single request, whether from a human CEO or an automated API key, must be rigorously authenticated, authorized, and continuously validated on its own merits.
If those machine identities are ungoverned, I mean, if they are orphaned, overprivileged, and unmonitored, then your personal data is sitting behind a reinforced steel door where thousands of untracked master keys have been left scattered in the parking lot.
That's a great way to put it.
Bringing these machines out of the shadows and integrating them into a rigorous lifecycle governance framework ensures that the incredible convenience of our highly automated lives doesn't remain our most catastrophic vulnerability.
We are successfully mapping the technical solutions, but, you know, there is a lingering implication here that extends far beyond IT.
What do you mean?
As we increasingly tie verified human owners to autonomous AI agents acting on their behalf, we are fundamentally shifting the burden of accountability. Consider this.
Okay.
If a highly privileged autonomous AI agent operating under your human ownership makes a probabilistic error while chaining actions and accidentally triggers a massive financial compliance breach, does the human owner assigned to that machine identity bear the legal, financial, and professional liability for a decision they didn't explicitly make?
That is a terrifying thought.
We are building the tools to close the security gap. But in doing so, we are opening a massive legal Pandora's box.
Wow. From an untracked API key lurking in the dark waters of legacy code to an AI agent making independent decisions that could literally land its human owner in court. We really are just discovering the wiring inside the walls, aren't we?
The infrastructure is only going to get more complex from here.
Something to think about the next time you assume it's just humans running the world.